One thing, they are the ones who are producing much of the food that is meant to feed the country. So in terms of food security, they are the ones doing that. One other thing is that they are also the ones who supply most of the labor that is in the agricultural sector in Uganda. So women rural farmers are actually doing a lot in terms of food production in Uganda.
And when we talk about food production, can you cite a percentage, for instance?
About 80%.
80%?
Yes, because the rest are produced by commercial farmers. But the 80% there is by the rural farmers.
Now, do they have access to the land that they need for farming?
Oh, that is an area I'm always crying about. Access to land or ownership to land is a major problem there. In fact, in Uganda, only about 2 to 3% of the women own land. And this land they own is as a result of maybe having to buy. Otherwise, land in Uganda is kind of a man's business.
Now you say that only 2 to 3% of women own land in Uganda.
Mm.
Now, what is being done to address this?
A lot has been done. One, the constitution says women and men have right to land. But the constitution has not been interpreted to trickle down to the rural woman. So the rural woman doesn't know that the constitution makes them hold the right to land. But what is happening now is that there are civil society organizations that are coming on board. They are sensitizing the women. So if, for instance, you are married and then your husband dies, you become a widow, your land is supposed to be taken over by the husband's relatives. So civil society organizations like the Uganda Land Alliance have come in to fight for the rights of such women. And they have actually solved quite a number of those land issues. Then we also have the clan leaders, because these are people who know that this land belonged to this man. And therefore, now that the man has died, the woman has got to take over that land and take care of the children. So when grabbing comes, the clan leaders come in and settle the issue and the land is regained. Then we also have the local leaders, what we call the local council, where such a person would be staying. So they know the history of the land and therefore they're also able to sort that out.
Now, you made mention of the fact that the constitution itself recognizes the right to land for women. Now, what is the government doing to ensure that actually the constitution is upheld and women have access to land?
In every part of the country, there is representation at parliament. And these people are supposed to go back to the grassroots and ensure that they interpret the constitution. But you know, with politicians, some of them don't bother to come back to the people.
And going back to agriculture, do women in Uganda have access to the inputs that are needed for agriculture?
Again, that is a very small percentage, negligible, really. They don't. For instance, agriculture is a very labor-intensive activity. So if you look at the kind of tools the women use, it's the hand hoe. Very little is now coming on the issue of using the ox plow. And you've got to afford the plow itself. And then you've got to afford the oxen to pull the plow. And very few women can still do that. The majority are still using hand hoe. When it comes to harvesting, it is again the hand. Coming to bringing the harvest from the garden, it's the head. Threshing, winnowing, and what have you. It's the same woman doing it.
Do men and boys help in any way in this?
In very, very few situations, maybe in opening the land for planting. But when it comes to weeding, it's basically the women. Harvesting is basically done by the women. And then, of course, processing, the threshing and what have you. It's the women mainly.
Do you see this situation changing in the near future, or women are going to be stuck in this kind of labor-intensive agriculture?
With a lot of advocacy, things will change. Yeah, I believe things will change.
Now let's talk about what you expect to get out of this session of the Commission on the Status of Women.
I've been attending quite a number of presentations where we are saying post-15 agenda should include women in decision making. And it should also include rural women, because the Millennium Development Goals, there wasn't anything on rural women. But now we are saying post-15, let's have something tangible coming out as regards the rural women in decision making, so that their voices are also heard. And then we are also saying that implementation processes should be well monitored, so that we see interventions that are made for the rural women trickling down to the very woman it is meant to reach.